Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stage Right. I'm Rocky Benisher, your host for this every week extravaganza. Well, it's a half an hour, but boy, what an extravaganza. We pack plenty into a half an hour, including me babbling on like this. But we are the show that takes a look at and seeks the conservative voice in theater. I'm very excited about today's show. But if you want to call us, our number is 347-884-9659. That number again is 347-884-9659. Or you can write to us at Stage Right Audio 1. That's all mushed together. Stage Right Audio 1. The 1 is the numeral 1 at gmail.com. Stage Right Audio 1 at gmail.com. Okay, so getting right to business here. You have heard me speak over the last few weeks about a group called the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. They're a Facebook group, and I'm very, very much in support of the work they do. And I'm doubly in support of the work they do now because they found for me, they put me in touch with today's guest. I am so delighted to have on the line today Mr. Don Milne. Don is the author of Inherit the Wind, Overturned by Design, an answer to Inherit the Wind. That was the 1955 play by Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee, not the general. It was also a 1960 film. It was also a film in sometime in the 90s with a television production with Jason Robards and Kirk Douglas. Gets a lot of play, but let's see what the other side now says about it with Mr. Don Mill. Don, welcome to Stage Right.
Thank you.
Well, we're delighted to have you here, Don. Let's start out by you giving us a little bit of a biography. Tell us about yourself, the work you've done, and the work you are doing.
Well, I consider myself probably a label that most people don't use, a satirist, but a conservative satirist. And so what that means is that I like poking fun at liberal social conventions to reveal what I find ridiculous with their positions. And so in the case of my book, Inherit the Wind, Overturned by Design, I'm using the format of theater, but I'm a writer that uses many different formats. I've written a screenplay called Jihad on Hollywood, and what I'm doing there is I have a group of the elite of Hollywood. They go on every year they have a wild, crazy party, hedonistic type, on some private island in the Caribbean, and the story of Jihad on Hollywood is where a bunch of Muslim terrorists take over the island and start executing these Hollywood elites. So that's kind of a conservative bent where we see Hollywood doesn't really support the position that mainstream America has as far as fighting the war on terror, it seems. But they really should, because if they were to get captured by Islamic terrorists, the things wouldn't go well for them. I've also written a book called Atlas Shrugged and Jesus Wept. And that's taking on not a liberal, but an objectionist with Ayn Rand. I don't really feel, although a lot of conservatives think that she's an icon of conservatism, if you really understand where she's coming from, she's really not. So in my book, I've kind of done a mashup of Atlas Shrugged with It's a Wonderful Life, where we have an angel that's, in this case, he says he's been given a second chance, so he wants to give the characters in the book Atlas Shrugged a second chance. And so we revisit the story with more of a conservative slant. And then probably my favorite thing to do, and it's probably the least commercial, is I like to write parody lyricists, but I'm not a good singer like Weird Al Yankovic, so I just have to stick to being a lyricist. But I often select subjects that are poking fun at liberals. So I've got a few songs I've written lately about the Hillary Clinton mess with the emails and other things like that. And an example that I wrote a while back was, I really don't think there's much of a positive thing to say about all these kids that walk around with their pants really low. So there was an old classic song called The Streets of Laredo, And I changed that to The Brief Silurado, and it's about this poor cowboy that comes to an ill end because he can't keep his pants up. So that's kind of fun, and I share many of these things on my blog, the Fiddling Ant. Fiddling Ant, it's a Blogspot blog, so people want to read those kind of things. I say it's a conservative values of the Bash of Fun, and I named it The Fiddling Ant because I look at the Aesop's fable, the classic story about the ant and the grasshopper. The grasshopper plays around a lot and doesn't do anything productive, and at the end of the story, he comes to an ill ending. Meanwhile, the ant does all the work and does some hard work, but I think conservatives shouldn't always have the reputation of being dour meanies and having no fun. So that's kind of the standpoint I take in my blog is, I'm wanting to support traditional values, but also I think we can have a little bit of fun at it too.
I absolutely agree, Don. And, I think the conservatives being called dour and mean-spirited, that's if you listen to what the left is saying about us. I think we're pretty fun, but I'm really glad you're out there doing this. And I love the fact that you work in various genres, so books and plays. Was this your first play, the Inherit the Wind, Overturned by Design?
Yeah, and the reason I wrote it was I live here in conservative Utah, and back in about 2006, one of the state legislators decided he didn't like the one-sided message that the kids were getting in the schools as far as teaching evolution. And he was familiar with some of the more recent findings in the area of science, and so he wanted to pass a law that would require that the high schools in science class talk about intelligent design. And so maybe not everyone in your audience is familiar with that, but what that basically says is that when it comes to how the universe was created, when it comes to how life was created, it doesn't necessarily say there was a long-bearded old guy with a white beard sitting on a cloud that did it, but there is a designer involved in creating the universe and life itself. And so he wanted to pass this law, and here in conservative Utah, the State Board of Education, the person in charge of that says, we're not going to let you do it. We're going to take every step possible so it doesn't happen. So I had to take just thinking to myself, so this is conservative Utah. I mean, when Bill Clinton was running for president in Utah, he got less votes than Ross Perot. That's how right-wing Utah is. But, yeah, we couldn't get this in our own legislative session when we tried to do that. And it wasn't too long after that I watched the play Inherit the Wind, the one you mentioned by Lawrence and Lee. And I noticed that the story was such that, back in the 1950s, that was kind of controversial because back in the 1950s, evolution was not taught. It wasn't until the 1960s when it went to the Supreme Court that they were able to put evolution in the schools. People taught creationism back then in the schools, and it bothered a lot of people that saw the science and said it's really hard to support teaching creationism when a lot of the evidence seems to indicate that the world's been around a lot longer than 6,000 years. And so that play poked fun at the status quo and poked fun at conservatives and especially evangelical Christians. And here we are, and that takes place at a real event that happened in the 1920s, the Scope Monkey Trial. And here we are 100 years later, and things have flipped 180 degrees. You can't talk about anything except for evolution in the schools, and if you were to try, you'd probably get to jail and put on trial. So what I've done is I've taken the original play, and because I'm a satirist, I've actually taken the original structure, and you can all, if you were to take the two plays and line them up side by side, it's almost by speech, character by character, you can see it's a mirror using the same format. But now I'm saying if you once thought you could get away with teaching creationism, now you can't. Teach evolution in the olden days. Now you can't get away with teaching intelligent design, and everything is done to block the character from teaching that. So they put him on trial, and I could see that happening today. And so I've updated it so it's more in the 21st century. The original play takes place in Tennessee, which was the location of the original Scope Monkey Trial. This play takes place in New England, since that's the most liberal area. And in the original play, based on the original characters in real life, we had Clarence Darrow, who was a radical left-wing lawyer who was representing the prosecution. And the defense at that time was William Jennings Bryan, who was a failed presidential candidate, went on to be Secretary of State, but a big supporter of traditional creationism. He was providing the defense. So I had to try to find similar characters that would be able to be more relatable to audiences in the 21st century. So for my failed presidential candidate that is now into other things, I picked Al Gore. So my character is kind of based on Al Gore. And then for my right-wing defense lawyer, I picked Ann Coulter. So my two characters, main characters are based on those real-life characters. So I think if the play ever does get produced, and so far I've been able to sell quite a few people who want to read it, but it, as you're aware, it is a challenge to find producers that want to produce something that has a conservative message. I think it would be quite entertaining to the audience. And what I think would be really interesting is, because the plays are so close, you could actually have the same cast do Inherit the Wind one day and the next day do my play. And I think if the audiences receive both, that would really generate a lot of discussion and interest in the subject.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a lot of things that I want to talk to you about, the characters and the whole idea of the mirror to this. And one of the exercises that we're going to do today, Don, is I'm going to play a small excerpt from the film Inherit the Wind, and then I'm going to read the same spot from your play. I will not do it justice.
Great.
I will do the best I can, but I think that's something our listeners will want to hear. So this play, though, as you said, not been produced yet, but you've got it available out on Amazon Kindle, where I got it. Thank God, you know, I was able to find it pretty easily. Read it over the last couple of days. A very, very good read, I will tell you that. An enjoyable read. And that's going to mean that it's going to be an even better production on stage. A couple other questions I have about the characters here. You also have the character of the defendant, Paul Fisher. Made my mind start going. Is there anything in that name? Were you using the Christian symbol of the fish in his name?
Yes, I was. A lot of the names, if I were to analyze the play, there's some meaning behind the names I picked. The names of the main character, Gordon Albert Jr., it's an anagram for Al Gore, obviously, and Nicole Duran, which is the defense lawyer, is an anagram for Ann Coulter. So I just had some fun with the names, and even the minor characters, someone were to look at them, they'd see, I remember reading this name once before, and I think that's where he got it from. So not just made up, but they did have a meaning for them.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. And also I might throw in there G.L. Buckner, based on the character in Inherit the Wind is named Hornbeck, but the real-life character who actually covered the trial was H.L. Mencken, who was a columnist for the Baltimore Sun, despised William Jennings Bryant, and actually, just for historical accuracy, although we don't go to plays for history necessarily, both the defense team and the prosecution had other lawyers sitting there working on the team. We just remember, and Lawrence and Lee dramatized the two big guns there. And, you know, it's like it's. I think of it in terms of the O.J. Simpson trial. We all remember Johnny Cochran, but that was a team of six or seven guys. Cochran was just one of them and probably the most flamboyant.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's take a look at a clip, if you don't mind, from Inherit the Wind. This is a scene where Drummond, that's the Clarence Darrow character, who's going to become the don't tell me I got it here, Nicole Duran character in your piece. He is examining or cross-examining or however you want to say it, because I don't know legalities very well, but he's got the William Jennings Bryant character on the stand. This actually happened in the actual trial, by the way, Darrow did put William Jennings Bryant on the stand. Let's listen to this. This is about a three-minute clip from Inherit the Wind, ladies and gentlemen. 1960, Spencer Tracy and Frederick March, two of my favorite all-time actors. So let's give a listen.
In my own way.
Your Honor, I am willing to sit here and endure Mr. Drummond's sneering and his disrespect.
for he is pleading the case of the prosecution by his contempt for all that is holy.
I object, I object, I object.
On what grounds? Is it possible that something is holy to the celebrated agnostic?
Yes. The individual human mind. In a child's power to master the multiplication table, there is more sanctity than in all your shouted amens and holy holies and hosannas. An idea is a greater monument than a cathedral. And the advance of man's knowledge is a greater miracle than all the sticks turned to snakes or the parting of the waters. But now, are we to forego all this progress because Mr. Brady now frightens us with a fable? Gentlemen, progress has never been a bargain. You have to pay for it. Sometimes I think there's a man who sits behind the counter and says, all right, you can have a telephone, but you lose privacy and the charm of distance. Madam, you may vote, but at a price. You lose the right to retreat behind the powder puff or your petticoat. Mister, you may conquer the air, but the birds will lose their wonder, and the clouds will smell of gasoline. Darwin took us forward to a hilltop, from where we could look back and see the way from which we came. But for this insight and for this knowledge, we must abandon our faith in the pleasant poetry of Genesis.
We must not abandon faith. Faith is the most important thing.
Then why does God plague us with the power to think? Mr. Brady, why do you deny the one faculty of man that raises him above the other creatures of the earth? The power of his brain to reason. What other merit have we? The elephant is larger, the horse is swifter and stronger, the butterfly is far more beautiful, the mosquito is more prolific, even the simple sponge is more durable. What does a sponge think?
I don't know. I am a man, not a sponge.
What do you think a sponge thinks?
If the Lord wishes a sponge to think, it thinks.
Do you think a man should have the same privilege as a sponge?
Of course.
This man wishes to be accorded the same privilege as a sponge. He wishes to think.
All right, we got to admit that that's pretty powerful stuff, even if we think it's a lot of hog. Because when you hear an actor like Spencer Tracy, you know you're hearing good acting. I long for actors like Spencer Tracy these days. Anyway, that's a scene. Now, Don, I hope that I have picked the right scene to read as the mirror to that scene. So stop me
okay.
if I suck. All right. So this is well, give it a shot. This is Albert. Lost my place, now I'm found it again. Gordon Albert Jr. Okay, he is the first to speak, and the contrasting voice there is Nicole Duran. I'm not going to do a woman's voice. I'll just do two different sort of voices. But anyway, this is where the scene starts. Albert says, "Your Honor, Mr. Green is doing a capable job, but I have no objections to continue responding to Miss Duran's death ignorant question. It only serves to show the jury the contrast of truth versus error."
"Objection, Your Honor."
"Does the truth make you nervous, Nicole? Is it possible that scientific facts are too much of an inconvenient truth to the celebrated creationist?"
"Truth."
"Is truth to be decided by a committee of educators with a liberal agenda? In a child's simple prayers, there is more power and hope than in the unread volumes of modern academia. A new idea worthy of discussion should not be squashed because it could testify of the existence of a creator. The advance of man's knowledge is too important to allow close-minded liberals to continue to promote Darwin's errors. But are we now to halt the march of progress because Mr. Albert has closed his mind? Ladies and gentlemen, When we stop asking questions, we stop learning. You reap what you sow. Do we stop progress because current science dogma refuses to even consider an alternative explanation to natural selection? Because of Darwin, many say science can stand alone. Civilization has progressed to the point where we don't need God. Look at what mankind has built on the foundation of Darwinism. Nazi eugenics, communism, Planned Parenthood, and rampant abortion, the acceptance of moral relativism, all the wonders of secular humanism. But for all this view, this insight, this knowledge, must we abandon our faith in God and belief that a creator is responsible for our universe and its life? You want to use trickery and misguided traditions to overrule long-established facts. Facts are stubborn things. If science does not need God, then explain how nature gives us the power to think. Mr. Albert, why do you fail to recognize the nature and uniqueness of man's mind? The shark is the king of the ocean, but we have self-reflection. The bear is more powerful, but we have self-thinking. Ants have developed complex societies, but we are capable of free moral action. The sponge is more durable, but we have a soul. Dr. Albert, does a sponge have a soul?
Well, since I am not sponge, how would I know?
And then the audience laughs. Okay, I didn't do it justice, but I hope my listeners out there can see the power in Don Milne's writing here. So, Don, was that acceptable to you, or are you now in a state of apoplexy?
Well, I'm used to hearing people know that people are reading it on their own, but it's kind of nice to see someone with some actor background recognize how to present it. I think you did a really good job.
Well, thank you. But I can only do a good job if the writing is there for me to do it. So this is. So these were the comparable scenes. Would you? Did I pick the right scenes here?
That's the one. Yeah. I recognize where it would be when you played the clip from the movie.
Right. You know, it's hard to know where to stop these things because the clip was only 3 minutes long. But it's like every line is so powerful. This as well. So have you gotten any reaction from people who have actually read the play?
A few people I know personally have read it, have liked it. I think in general, the group that likes it, it's kind of a niche product because people on the far right that are really Christian, that are really accepting of the Bible is that's the way it is, and you just got to accept the kind of ignore the science, and that's what it is. That's a pretty large contingent, and so they're not really interested in intelligent design because it kind of challenges some of the things that they're believing. And then, of course, we've got the vast secular side of society. They don't want to hear this because although more and more science is being questioning as to far as how much we can accept a Darwinism, they don't want to hear it. So when I shared this on blog posts and forums and others that are kind of doing the debate between intelligent design and evolution, I just get a lot of hate, mainly, because they don't want to have a debate. They just want to shut it down. Normally the responses you'll get when you try to bring up intelligent design is no argument. It's already settled science. We don't want to talk about it. They don't want to have a debate, so it's kind of frustrating. Name-calling and that sort of thing is normally what you're going to get.
Don, don't you understand? You use the word hate. It's not hate. They love they love everybody. Only the right hates. A little sarcasm there, a little satire, folks, in case you missed it. So, so you even said you're very faithful to the Lawrence and Lee script, in terms of the structure, in terms of the linear action, in terms of the types of characters. Have you heard any backlash or do you suspect any backlash out there that people are saying, well, all you did was substitute intelligent design for evolution, but there's nothing new under the sun here? Do you think that would be a fair criticism?
Well, if I wasn't a satirist, maybe it'd be, well, he's not original. He has to take something else that someone else did a very good job at, and I'll acknowledge that. I'd love to play Inherit the Wind. It's very entertaining, and I think it gets people thinking. But that's what satirists do. We take an existing body of work, and we challenge it. And so that's why it's I couldn't write something entirely new. It wouldn't serve the same purpose of people seeing the original work and now being able to contrast it to something else and being able to think, you know, I think he's got something to it. I think there's an argument that needs to be made.
Yeah.
At least
and I can tell you also. Absolutely. Absolutely. I really like your idea of having this play done on the same bill as the original. I love that idea. I may ad lib that later. You know, the one other thing that was permeating Inherit the Wind when it came out was McCarthyism. And from what I understand from some of the scholarship that's been written about the play, that Lawrence and Lee were looking for a kind of way to dramatize the injustice, as they saw it, of McCarthyism. Do you think we're in a modern-day McCarthy society?
Yeah, but it's from the other side now. It's a McCarthyism
right.
from the left, where you if you have a position that doesn't agree with the acceptable position of the liberals, they don't want to hear it, unfortunately.
Right. And just out of curiosity, you had mentioned that one of the things that made you want to write this play was the congressman, was it, in Utah? Or a local congressman? Was this a Republican congressman, or rather a Democratic congressman?
Yeah, that's basically all you get in Utah is a Republican. They have a supermajority of over 75% in the Senate in the state. So it was a state legislator on the congressional side, very right-wing, and he wanted to pass this bill. And the State Board of Education came out very publicly and said, we're not going to do it. You're not going
to
have this bill, and we're not going to support it. So. People backed away. And it's not that he's saying we don't want to teach evolution. He says evolution has a lot of holes in it. And if you want to bring up some other issues of science, you'll realize that there's other better explanations than what Darwin thought of. He didn't have all the information that modern scientists do now. And especially on the physics side, you'd almost think those guys were theologians by the way they talk about things sometimes, because they've looked at the math and the hard science of how the universe was created, and they find it completely unbelievable that this could have been a random event that just happened out of nowhere. They're really seeing the fingerprints of some designer.
Absolutely, absolutely, and not the kind of designer we see on HGTV.
Right.
So, you know. So, at any rate, I think this is a wonderful play that does. To be seen. And I hope as a result of this show and all your efforts in your blog, and what's the name of your blog again, or how do I find your blog again?
If you just go to Google and type in Fiddling Ant.
Fiddling Ant. Okay. Well, we all should take a look at this blog. We all should be reading this play, available on Amazon Kindle. Is that right? Is it available
iTunes.
Any other place but Amazon?
You can get it on iTunes. You can get it through Barnes & Noble as a hard copy if you'd order it online or through their Nook product. So it's pretty easy to find. If you have a computer, you can find it to get on a download, or you can order a hard copy through Barnes & Noble online.
And, you know, it does help, by the way, to know a little bit about Inherit the Wind, the play. However, you read this on your own. It's such a good read. You're going to enjoy this every bit as much, I think, knowing about Inherit the Wind, or maybe not knowing about Inherit the Wind. I got 50 seconds left. Don Milne, what's coming up? What's next for you in the wide world of art, of the arts?
Well, the screenplay I wrote, Jihad on Hollywood, I tried shopping that around a little more, but that's even harder to get a producer than a play, because you've got hundreds of plays that get produced every year, but movies, even including independents, are probably a few hundred that ever get much of an audience. So really picking on Hollywood probably doesn't make that a good way to try to make a living. So I'm actually adopting that into a novelized format, so people can find the screenplay on now at the same places as my other writings, but I'm going to be changing it into a book form before the year's out.
Well, we are out of time. Thank you, Don Milne. for a fabulous time together. Everybody go out and check out Inherit the Wind, Overturned by Design. We'll see you next week on We're Exiting Stage Right.